I want to share with you a gospel lesson this morning from the Gospel of Luke in the third chapter, as it is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I invite you to stand in reverence and respect for the reading and the hearing of these words. From Luke 3. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the strap of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear the threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased. The Gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Will you join me in a moment of prayer? Send your Spirit, Lord. Send your Spirit to change our hearts, to set them aflame, to be able to embrace the words of God Almighty, to know of your love. May the words of my mouth, the thoughts and meditations of each of our hearts be found pleasing and acceptable in your sight, Lord, our rock and our Redeemer, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I think I was about 13 or 14 years old when I was woken one night from a very deep sleep because there was some noise in my bedroom. I turned and faced the air conditioner in my bedroom. You need to understand, in Florida, every room had an air conditioner. We didn't have central air and heating. There was no need for it in Florida. But that's what my parents thought. And in our house, we had three air conditioners, one in the living room, one in my bedroom, and one in my parents' bedroom. My poor brother, tough luck. And for winter, we had a gas heater in the living room that heated the entire house, supposedly. Anyway, as I looked at the air conditioner, to my surprise, my eyes adjusted and I saw a flame of fire blazing near the electrical socket. The cord, the wall, and the pine wood floor were engulfed in flames in my bedroom. I jumped up from my bed, I ran to the door, and I froze, and I tried to holler, fire! But the only thing that came out was, fire! Fire! I did that for what seemed like 20 minutes, but it wasn't really 20, it was pretty short, because soon I heard my father saying to my mother, wake up, something is wrong. And my father came running, saw my room, saw me standing there frozen, and ran outside of the house. My mother came running, chewing out my father for being a coward, and ran to the kitchen to get water to pour on the electrical fire. Thank goodness my dad reached the electrical panel that was on the outside of the house first. It was a terrible smell, if you've ever smelt an electrical fire. The odor, the heaviness. And our poor dog, Wendy, she had a big fat lip from biting through the cord of the air conditioner prior to the fire. So I have great respect, my friends, for fire. At times it still leaves me speechless. In 1949, there occurred the most devastating tragedy in the history of smoke jumping. Smoke jumpers are elite squads of firefighters, parachuting hotshots, if you will, who take great pride in being on the front lines of out-of-control wildfires. Smoke jumpers constitute the first and most dangerous stage of defense for wilderness fires. In a remote area of Montana called Mine Gulch, 12 men lost their lives when seemingly whipped wind of a small fire became a raging firestorm. Of the three men who escaped the blaze, one was the team's leader. As he watched his men trying to outrun, running uphill from the fire, you do understand fire goes faster uphill, the speeding wall of fire followed them. He realized that it was a losing battle, and in desperation, the crew leader decided to risk trying something new. Right there, on the spot, a new method of fire control that no smoke jumper team had ever employed. Instead of running away, the squad leader stopped, turned, and started another fire, a so-called safety fire, between himself and the blaze that followed. Most of the other smoke jumpers thought their team leader had lost his mind and gone berserk. Surely they had enough fire already. He yelled for them to join him behind the new safety fire, but many of them chose to continue to try outrunning the main fire. As a smaller fire burned toward the main blaze, it drew a safety zone behind itself and allowed the squad leader and two other men to escape. All the other smoke jumpers perished on that day. So you get where the phrase, fight fire with fire, comes from. We've heard the phrase often enough, but how many of us really dream of doing such a thing? We think of a fire as something that must be doused with water or buried beneath some dirt in order to put it out. But sometimes, especially when the flames of life are threatening and lashing at our heels, the only survival strategy that will work is to fight fire with fire, as they're doing now in California and some of the wildfire areas, as we must do in our own lives at times. It leaves me speechless because in my little brain, that just doesn't make sense. Today's gospel, though, demonstrates that at the very start of Jesus' ministry, indeed at its big opening grandeur event, images of both triumph and tragedy are present. The coming Messiah is portrayed by John the Baptist as one who will effect apocalyptic judgment through an unquenchable fire. But there's another fire burning in Jesus' ministry and mission. The words spoken at the time of his baptism, calling Jesus beloved, reminds us of language that comes from the prophet Isaiah in the 42nd chapter regarding the suffering servant. In suffering, there is also the power of an unquenchable fire. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not quench. Fire will be used to separate the wheat from the chaff, the unusable from the usable, the wanted from the unwanted, the good from the bad. It will be an unquenchable fire, one that you cannot put out no matter how much water, how much dirt you place on it. That means to me there must be a lot of wheat and chaff which to separate in our world according to this parable. If this fire is to be so intense and so powerful, what's left when it's all said and done is the only thing that's useful, the only thing that is good, the wheat. The bad will not have the last word or the last breath as it goes up in smoke. And John the Baptist prophesies, and his words leave us speechless, wondering, how does Jesus see us, as wheat or as chaff? There's only one force powerful enough to snuff out all these firestorms that are engulfing our life and our world today. The evil and the injustices and all that fire that is alive and ablaze. The only thing is a life that is aflame for God Almighty and His eternal word. Discipleship sets ablaze an unquenchable fire of the Holy Spirit to fight the fires of life, the fires of disease and destruction in our world, the fires of evil and injustice and hate, the fires of crime and corruption, the fires of hunger and cold and lostness and depression. Those who have been born from on high by the word of the Almighty God ought to be fired up for their Father God. Now, yeah, that's an old phrase, fired up. It's used by the ultra-conservative Baptist brothers and sisters of ours from days gone by. But I have an idea they knew what they were talking about, being fired up for Jesus. The fire is the fire which we fight the other fire with. But fired up faith, authentic discipleship, true servanthood cost everything, my friends. Everything must be consumed in the fire of faith's vulnerability, sacrifice, and suffering. When we catch fire at our baptism, we are called to a discipleship that fights the fires of this world with the fire of faith. We're called to renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness. We know them. We can tell what wickedness is. We know when something's not of God. Yes, deep down we know. And I'm not talking about our own opinions or our own thoughts or even our own way of life. But the yearning and the power of the Holy Spirit moving within us, doing something within us, telling us this is not of God. Can we be bold enough to renounce it? Do we have the fire within us to reject the evil powers of this world? Is our faith on fire enough to do that? This is the evil, and we will not tolerate it any longer. And you might not know what evil is. Well, let me give you one prime example today. It's shootings in our schools. That is an evil that should not be tolerated any longer. Are we able to repent from our sins, to say we're sorry, to ask for forgiveness when we fail, when we do it the other way, individually and collectively as a people? Yes, you see, we are responsible for the fire even when we didn't start it sometimes, because we don't fight it with fire. Can we resist evil, injustice, oppression in this world with the fire inside of our bellies and inside of our hearts? Are you on fire for Jesus? Are you setting the world afire for justice, for mercy, for self and others, and to walk humbly with God? Are you bringing hope and truth to the world that God has placed you in? You and I ought to be doing that because we are the children of God. We are called and we are set apart for this day in our baptism. That's what baptism does. We who have been baptized, and I don't care. I really don't care about the amount of water that was used. I don't care when you were baptized, where you were baptized, or how old you were when you were baptized. But when we were then and now, we are set aflame with the knowledge that we are the beloved child of God Almighty. And He is counting on you and He is counting on me, His children, to set the world aflame. But there is a warning. Playing with fire is dangerous, as it can go either way. Abel caught fire and Cain killed him. Abraham caught fire and found himself sacrificing Isaac. Sarah caught fire and got pregnant at 90 years of age. Rachel caught fire and died in childbirth. Joseph caught fire and was sold by his brothers into slavery. The Hebrews caught fire and wandered 40 years in the wilderness. Moses caught fire and spent the rest of his life listening to the complaints and whining of a stiff-necked people. Moses caught fire again, and Joshua got to go in, not he. Deborah caught fire and had to lead an army. Naomi caught fire and was dealt with bitterly. David caught fire and Solomon got to build the temple. Job caught fire and lost his fortune and family. Daniel caught fire and was cast in the lion's den. Elijah caught fire and sat down dejectedly under the juniper tree to die. Jeremiah caught fire and felt the arrows of God quiver to enter into my veins. Hosea caught fire and married a prostitute. Elizabeth caught fire and her only son was beheaded. Stephen caught fire and was stoned. Paul caught fire and was shipwrecked and imprisoned. Mary caught fire and ended up an unwed mother. Jesus caught fire and was beaten and crucified. You and I have caught fire and, well, today we get to, not have to, get to, because it's not a tradition, it's not a rule, it's not a for better use choice only, but it's an offering of God's grace to us. We get to remember our baptism this morning. And as we remember ours, we remember the baptism of us, of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who was claimed and named by God as his beloved child. We get to choose which we shall be from here on out, wheat or chaff, wanted or unwanted, good or bad, the fire of faith or the unquenchable fire to eliminate all. Today we choose our fire. It may leave us speechless, but only for a little bit, depending on the fire we choose. As we hear these words again in a moment, and soon touch the water anew, I invite you to choose wisely with the heart of a beloved child of God, with your heart aflame for God, and for the world he sends us to, that we will find a way to set it aflame in love for all our siblings, the world around, that we will fight fire with fire. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.